on pushed the slow-mo button, and we're stuck in a thick soup.
Yes, AJ agreed. He brought his right hand over to his left arm and ran his fingers over the metal. Against all reason, he could feel his own fingers running up and down the steel, as if his old arm were still there. Rambo was in the back kitchen area with Remy. She emerged a moment later, wearing a black robe. She had torn off her shirt when AJ's arm was cut from the rest of his body, and used it to stem the flow of blood.
Oh, so, I guess I'm gonna go keep the little guy company, Jones said, taking the hint as Rambo approached. You two behave yourselves.
Behavin's not really in my wheelhouse, Rambo said to Jones while she looked over at AJ. Can I get you anything?
Nope, just stop thinking of ways to kill Emperor Eon, and let's focus on a plan that will get us out of here, AJ said as Jones retreated to the rear of the room. We need to escape ASAP.
How did you know I was thinking of ways to kill Emperor Eon? Rambo asked as she took a knee next to AJ, who lay on the white couch.
I just need one clean shot. Just one, and I'll put an exit wound in the back of his skull the size of a grapefruit.
I have no doubt about that. AJ almost chuckled. He would have laughed if his arm didn't hurt so much. Killing him has to be a bonus, though. We need to get back to that gate and get home.
The Sisters of Eon told us they would help, Rambo reminded AJ. She looked at him sideways.
You don't believe them, do you?
I'm cautiously optimistic, but the only people I fully trust are locked in this chamber, AJ said, staring into Rambo's intense eyes. He dared not look too long. There was a force that lived in there, an attraction that needed to remain dormant for now.
I say we spring the slaves they've locked up, and we all get off this hell of a planet.
You want to start a revolution?
Rambo's eyes lifted, and she wrapped her mind around AJ's plan. She stared deeper into his eyes.
Oh, gosh, you don't want to start a revolution. You want to take all of them with us back to their own planet.
AJ nodded.
AJ, I get that you want to free all these slaves. Trust me, I do too. But we don't even know how many of them there are. There could be hundreds of thousands of them.
Rambo took a heavy breath.
Sometimes I hate how you always need to do the right thing.
You hate it, but that's also part of my charm. AJ teased as he sat up on the couch. His head swam with emotion.
That's one of the reasons you like me so much.
As soon as AJ said it, he immediately regretted his own words. Whether it was a simple lapse in judgment, or the pain in his arm coupled with the act of dizziness sitting up and enacted the words, it didn't matter now. He had said them.
Hey, guys, I made...
Remy walked in from the far side of the room with some kind of alien food on his plate. He must have heard the last words spoken by AJ, because he was frozen in place, unsure whether to act like there was nothing wrong or continue.
Sorry, was I interrupting something?
No, no, you're fine, AJ said.
Yes, your brother was just telling me the many reasons why I like him so much,
Rambo said, turning back to AJ.
Isn't that right?
Yes, right.
I was just telling Rambo. AJ's words trailed off when he realized what she had just said. A playful grin flashed across her full lips.
No, it's fine.
Jones's thick arm snaked around the corner, grabbing Rem by the back of the shirt and slowly pulling him back in.
Come on, let's go clear things up before it starts getting awkward, Rambo said.
Rising from her kneeling position, she helped AJ off the couch. She gently took AJ's arm in her own and pulled them up to eye level to herself.
It's not against protocol on an alien planet, AJ told himself. It's like Vegas at this point, right? Whatever happens here stays here.
You look like you're gonna pass out.
Rambo put a hand on either side of AJ's face and looked deep into his eyes, inspecting his pupils for dilation.
Did you stand up too fast? AJ, can you hear me? You have a stupid look on your face right now.
I'm fine,
AJ lied, shaking his head and moving with her through the open room toward the kitchen area. He made a weak attempt at changing the subject.
Looks like we're moving up in the world.
Our new cell could pass for a suite in a hotel.
AJ's words weren't far from the truth. The large seating room area opened into a dining area, the kitchen, and a room beyond. On the opposite side of the seating area, the entrance led into yet another room.
Yeah, fancy-schmancy. But what are the odds there's a half-dozen guards right outside our door?
Rambo let AJ change the subject with a glance that said, "Don't think I don't know what you're doing."
Probably a full dozen, AJ agreed, as they rounded the corner to the kitchen area.
Jones and Remy were playing with the screen set above an open square space. Remy's three baby dragons huddled up against one another with large yawns.
"Look at this thing," Jones said, pressing a few alien buttons, trying to figure out what kind of food he wanted to order. "I can't tell exactly what everything is, but the pictures help. We can order food on it, and it creates it for us right here."
"Yep," Remy said, picking up a green slab of something from the plate he had placed on the counter. "I ordered something that looked like green cookies, but it tasted like popcorn. Go figure. How's your arm? Or is that a stupid question?"
"It's not a stupid question." AJ did his best to attempt a grin for his brother. The pain was like a never-ending cycle of burning and itching. "I'll live."
"I'm sorry. I should have..."
"You did the right thing, or there'd be two of us with mechanical arms right now," AJ said, looking down on the alien appendage.
"Let's stop thinking about the things in the past we can't change, and start looking at what we can change. I want to break out of here tomorrow. We just need to get a clear idea of where they keep the slaves. Once we get recon on that, we spring them tomorrow night, and we head back to the planet with the gateway."
"But the sisters said they would help us," Remy reminded his brother.
"They said a week. You have to heal."
"If the sisters are really on our side, then they'll be with us whether we leave tomorrow or next week."
AJ squinted, already thinking of what they would need for the mission. "We're outnumbered and outgunned, so we'll have to be fast and squeeze everything we can out of the element of surprise.
Maybe Chael or Sister Magdalene will know where we can get a ship, and hopefully they can pilot it. Or they know someone who can," Rambo thought out loud. "I'd kill to get a real rifle in my hands right now."
"So what do we do now?"
Jones asked, pressing a few more buttons on the screen before deciding on one and selecting the enter button. The space under the screen shimmered for a moment before a pile of steaming orange meat appeared in a black bowl. The smell of fish filled the room. "We rest and get ready for tomorrow," AJ said, waving away the fish-like substance Jones offered to him. "I imagine Rim will be taken to be trained as the prophet. Maybe you can get eyes on where they hold the slaves. If not, the three of us will have to go look for inventive ways to sneak away. We'll need to secure weapons and a ship."
"That's a tall order for one day," Rambo said after a long, low whistle.
"Maybe we can bring the Sisters of Eon in on this. I mean, they wanted to help us. And they did sneak you a letter and give you a robot arm and all. All signs point to them actually wanting to help."
AJ weighed the options in his mind. Rambo was right. Securing all the information and gear needed to escape in a single day was a monumental task. If they could trust the Sisters of Eon to keep their word, then maybe they had a chance. He just hated putting so much trust in a faction he hardly knew.
"We can trust them," Remy spoke up. He searched the ceiling as if he were reading lines of a code even he didn't understand.
"I wish I could tell you more, but it's just a feeling I have that I know we can count on them. Jael and the rest of the Sisters of Eon won't give us up. They're on our side."
"All right," AJ said, putting the matter to rest. "We get some shut-eye and try and eat some of this weird food, and we get ready to go tomorrow."
Everyone in the room nodded. Tiny puffs of smoke came from the dragon's nostrils as they slumbered in peace.
"I hope you're right, Rem," AJ thought. "I hope you're right about Jael and the Sisters of Eon, or we're all lost."
Chapter 19. Remy. Jael rousted him from his bed at the crack of dawn, or at least it felt like it. His dragons had kept him awake most of the night. They were upset, and he couldn't get them to settle down. Poor little things had nightmares all night. Remy had a few himself.
He'd been covered in fire, screaming as his flesh melted, and his dragons fell into the fire, burning along with him. He didn't put too much stock in it, though. They were on a planet made of fire. Remy was a natural disaster movie buff. He'd watched Dante's Peak and every other volcano movie known to man. He knew what lava could do. That river of lava he'd seen? Yeah, he wasn't going near that thing. Jael had on some kind of long blue wrap that might have been a dress, but it could just as easily have been overalls. He knew jack about female fashion, especially alien female fashion, but she looked beautiful in it. Jael made him nervous, and his tongue tended to get tied around girls he liked. Sure, she had blue hair, but then girls who were into punk back home tended to dye their hair multicolors, too. The fad was starting to take hold, as more and more girls changed their hair color to reflect pinks and blues and greens. It wasn't just the punk culture anymore. Jael would be right at home among the Earth girls. When they turned down a hall, Remy stopped. The entire right side was glass, and he could see the red planet in all its glory. Two of its 5 moons were in the sky, but they were so close, he felt like he could reach out and touch them. A river of lava flowed through the rocky valley below. Fire licked along the rock surface, and he sucked in a breath. As scary as it was also devastatingly beautiful. "Prophet?" Jael questioned when she'd noticed he'd stopped following her. "It's Remy. I'm no prophet." "Yes, you are," she said with a smile, "even if you are unaware of it. You are an ancient born again." Remy wanted no part of any of it. He just wanted to go home. He turned away from the mesmerizing view to face Jael and tell her just that, when the words died on his lips. She was staring at him in utter adoration. If it wasn't so unsettling, he'd be puffing out his chest. He didn't want her adoration. Well, he did. But he wanted her to like him for him, and not because she thought he was some foretold prophet of old. The guards who were assigned to follow them came closer. He cleared his throat, tamping down the urge to let her know how beautiful she was. No need to give them a show. What he really should be doing was trying to find a way to talk to her without them listening in. Remy had promised AJ he'd try to bring Jael and the other sisters on board with their plan to escape today. It was gonna be difficult, and personally, he'd rather wait for the sisters' plan. It seemed more logical than his brother's. Less risk. But what did he know? He wasn't a Marine. "Where are we going?" he asked, buying time to figure out how to not only keep his promise to AJ, but to get his rampaging hormones under control. This was one girl he didn't want to embarrass himself in front of with the nervous vitriol that would inevitably spew out of his mouth. "To the gateway, of course." Wait, hold up. Did she say gateway? Maybe they wouldn't even have to hijack a ship and try to get out of here. Maybe they could just use this gateway. Wouldn't that be awesome? They walked another 10 minutes through countless corridors, and Remy finally gave up trying to keep track so he could get back here. It was impossible in this maze. How Jael kept it straight was beyond him. When they finally reached a very narrow hallway, wide enough for only one person to fit through at a time, and outfitted with scanners that continuously seemed to be screening the way forward, Jael stopped.
"Come, we must input your DNA sequence so that you may pass."
She motioned him forward to a simple silver box. It looked very unassuming, and he'd completely overlooked it.
"Just put your hand into the opening."
He was having Doctor Who flashbacks, where the doctor put his hand in the box and the alien species used his DNA to create a fully grown adult who turned out to be the doctor's daughter. He hoped to God that wasn't the case here. He could barely take care of himself, let alone a kid. He still had doubts about caring for the dragons once they started to get bigger. Remy held out his hand and frowned. This was not something he wanted to do. "What happens if we just go through without registering my DNA?"
"The lasers will slice you to bits and pieces,"
Jael said matter-of-factly.
And if you try to add your DNA sequence without first having someone from R&D add you to the list of approved DNA, the box will disintegrate your hand.
Holy. Remy blinked.
Maybe the plan of using this gate wasn't the best one, then. He looked up at the lasers, searching for a way to deactivate them.
You can't, Jael whispered. The sensors are embedded into the rock wall with unbreakable glass covering them. You'd die.
He needed to start paying attention to AJ and his stealth tactics if he was that transparent in his attempt to search out a way to escape. Instead of replying, he plunged his hand into the box. The temperature inside was freezing, but there was no pain. Until there was. Needles shot into his hand. He gritted his teeth to hold back the scream, refusing to embarrass himself in front of Jael. But man, did it hurt. His whole body sagged when the needles released him, and he was able to snatch his hand out of the box. He fully expected to see needle marks, but there were none. His hand was as unblemished as when it went in. These guys had some serious biotech.
And we are set,
Jael smiled again, blushing when he stared a little too long. She was just as nervous around him as he was with her, Remy realized. And it had nothing to do with all this profit nonsense. She led the way down the hallway, and he had the sudden urge to check out her backside. But he refrained, knowing he wouldn't be able to stop blushing if he did. The guards did not follow them down the hallway of death, as he dubbed it. With the lethal security they had going on, they didn't need to. Remy wasn't going anywhere. Jael pushed open a door at the very end and went inside. She said something he missed, but all the lights in the room came on, and he spotted the raised dais with the sphere sitting on a flat pedestal. It wasn't lit up, but sat quietly, just waiting for someone to turn it on. Metal clacking caught his attention, and he saw the metal dog that had guarded them on the dinosaur planet walking over to them. He stopped at Remy's feet and looked up expectantly. Remy ran a hand along the metal of his head, and the dog hummed.
He likes you, Jael said, surprised.
He doesn't like anyone.
What's his name?
Z-756-1407, or Gorja, as some of the guards call him, Jael answered, stepping closer.
It is his duty to guard the sphere.
The dog glanced at her, a small growl starting to rumble in his chest, and she quickly backed away.
That's a horrible name, Remy muttered. I'm gonna call you Hank. You look like a Hank.
The dog rubbed his head along Remy's waist, apparently approving of his new name. He wanted to take Hank with them when they left, but there were things to worry about, Hank's programming being at the core of it. If he could figure out how to hack his hard drive so the Sarkans couldn't have him attack them, then all would be good. But getting access to him long enough to do that was an issue.
Come,
Jael said, and began walking toward the sphere.
You have much to learn, Prophet.
Remy, he reminded her. Call me Remy.
Remy,
she said hesitantly, testing it on her tongue. And he grinned at her, earning another blush in return. She was cute when she blushed. He rejoined her at the sphere's pedestal. This one looked to be made of the same black rock that most of the planet was made of, but it carried the same glyphs as the one he'd seen on the other planet. Even asleep, the sphere called to him, begged him to touch it.
The Ancients, a race that we have not seen walk the galaxies in eons, created the spheres so we could be able to transport great armies from one world to the other during the greatest intergalactic war the galaxies has ever seen, the Chaos War.
He tried to focus on what she was saying, but the hammering in his head was getting louder, like the drums from the Jumanji movies the kids always heard. Only this was louder, and driving him nuts.
Freyon told us all that, he said, and inched closer to the sphere.
The onyx material that looked cold and unyielding spoke to him on a cellular level. All he had to do was touch it. She slapped his hand when he reached for the sphere, and he looked up. Stunned.
Control your urge to touch it, she admonished. But no buts, Jael shook her head. You must listen and learn.
He scrunched up his nose, but nodded. He always learned better by actually doing something instead of listening, though. Remy knew he tended to zone out, so he was going to do his best not to do that now. That might be useful in getting them home.
Now, what Freyon didn't tell you was that the portals were only necessary for those who did not carry the blood of ancients. The ancients had no need for any sphere to open gateways between worlds. They were able to harness the magic in the very fabric of the universe to open gateways. That is why everyone is so excited. You were able to see all the pathways without ever even touching the sphere.
No, I didn't touch it. But it was activated when I saw it, Remy argued. Doesn't mean I can see without the sphere.
That's why I'm not letting you touch it yet, Jael told him. I want you to try and open the portal without the sphere.
How the heck am I supposed to do that? Remy asked, casting a longing glance toward the sphere.
Think about what you saw when you looked at the sphere, Jael suggested. Focus on the lines and the equations you know are there, just waiting for you. Go ahead. Close your eyes and block out everything but the memory of what you know is there, locked within the sphere.
Remy did as she asked. He closed his eyes and thought about what he'd seen when he'd held the sphere in his hands and how he'd felt. Awe, wonder, a sense of pride and power in what he had brought to life. It was like when he wrote a computer program. It was able to do things that it shouldn't be able to. Only this time, he was the program. He was the one who was able to bring to life something no one else could. He thought of home, of his room, his parents, the smell of the ocean breeze and the sting of the salt in his eyes when he went surfing last weekend with his friends. He wanted to go home so badly.
Open your eyes, Jael whispered into his ear.
Again, he did as she asked, and what he saw nearly brought him to his knees. A gateway had opened, pulsing with that strange yellowish fog that changed colors. Above it was an address glowing in blue. The way home. Then he started looking for other paths, and the lights that bled out from the sphere before now bled out from him. He started sorting through the equations, looking for patterns, seeing the millions of different paths. He did this, not the sphere, but him. It shook him to his core, and as soon as he realized it, the gateway glitched and crashed.
Oh my gosh, he breathed out. That
is why we need to get you as far away from here as we can, Jael said.
If the Emperor discovers this, and he will, then there is nothing he can't do. He'll make you open doorways for him, make you a tool of destruction.
But if he discovers this, won't he just come after me? Remy worried. What would stop him from coming to Earth to find me?
He will come. There is no doubt, Jael said, and sat down on the edge of the dais. But we can lock the gateway to your home. It won't last forever, but it will buy some time for your military to prepare for the invasion.
Why is he even interested in Earth? Remy asked. Why put a gateway there?
Your planet is rich in our greatest natural resource, Jael said.
What resource? Remy asked.
Living beings, Jael spit out, her eyes flashing with anger. Slaves to be used. Your planet is overpopulated, your people stripping your world of its natural resources at a pace that will leave the future generations with nothing. You don't even appreciate what you have. It's those worlds our people seek out. It could be argued we save them by deleting 2/3 of the population and destroying the technology on those worlds, so that the people are forced to let the planet rest.
Seriously? Remy stared at her incredulously. You save the world by destroying it?
I never said I agreed with it, only that some do, she clarified. I'm trying to get you and your friends out of here so that doesn't happen.
Speaking of that, AJ doesn't want to wait a whole week.
he wants to leave today?
Today?
Jael gasped.
We have a plan in place.
And plans usually get all skewered when implemented, he interrupted her. My brother is a trained Marine, a soldier. I trust him, and if he says we need to leave today, then we need to leave today.
And does he have a plan?
Yes, he wants us to swipe one of your ships, go back to the dinosaur planet, and then go home. We need weapons, a distraction, and a ship.
Jael swallowed thickly. I don't know if that is possible. The docking bay is heavily guarded. Weapons are kept locked up in the armory, and the Sisters of Eon are not allowed in the armory. I must speak with Magdalene.
Okay. Remy gave her an encouraging smile. Go talk to Magdalene, and I'll go back and let my brother know if it's possible. Then we'll leave today.
I'm not promising that.
I did say if it's possible, he reminded her. She just nodded and began to lead him back to his quarters. At least he was able to jumpstart AJ's escape plan. He hoped so, at least.
Chapter 20 AJ
So I guess we can just walk around and you're gonna follow us wherever we go? AJ asked the contingent of 6 Sarkhan guards who waited for them in the hall outside of their quarters. Or are you gonna keep us locked in here? AJ stood with Rambo and Jones just inside the doorway to the chambers they had been given. As soon as they had decided on a plan to go and see where the slaves were kept, they had exited their room to find the guards waiting. The tall Sarkhan guards, with their multicolored hair and the metal masks on their lower half of their faces, said nothing. They just stared at the Marines with indifferent eyes.
Oh, don't mind them, a voice said, coming from down the hall. They're soldiers in the Sarkhan military. They're going to stonewall you and try their intimidation tactics.
AJ looked to his right, where Magdalene approached. She wore a thin yellow robe with a hood. For Sarkhan, she looked regal and well-maintained.
You are guests here just like your brother, Magdalene said, as she approached the group.
The guards are going to act as your shadows, but you are allowed to roam about in most of the fortress.
If you'd like, I can show you around and let you stretch your legs a bit.
Or we can just take them right here, right now,
Jones whispered not so quietly in his ear.
I'm ready. Put me in, coach, put me in.
AJ flexed his left arm. There was a part of him that wanted to unleash his anger at having his arm taken from him. But this wasn't the time. Not yet.
Easy there, Cobra Kai.
AJ gave Jones a sideways glance. Let's just go for a walk. AJ, Jones, and Rambo fell in line alongside Magdalene and the foursome, followed by the 6 guards, headed down the hall. If Rambo felt awkward or different around AJ after his slip-up, she didn't show it. To the contrary, the Marine sharpshooter was all eyes as she soaked in every detail she could remember about where they were going and what lay beyond. The burning and itching in AJ's biomechanical arm drew him from these thoughts and demanded his attention.
Give it time, Magdalene said,
eyeing AJ's arm as he scratched at the area where it connected with his flesh.
It'll be a part of you soon, and the gifts it comes with at your disposal to command.
Gifts?
AJ looked at the Sister of Eon as if she were crazy.
Lady, if you think this is a gift, I don't want to even imagine what Christmas looks like at your house.
Sister Magdalene and AJ were in the lead of the group, but she still turned back to examine the guards.
You should be careful with your words. Speak low, and they won't be able to hear. Your arm is much more than it seems. When we connected the prosthetic, we introduced a biomechanical nanite to the blend of alloy. It has the capability of becoming any weapon or item you may need.
AJ blinked at her a few times, trying to understand the words coming out of her mouth. He heard them all, but putting them together in a way that actually made sense was another story altogether.
Are you telling me this metal arm can change shapes?
AJ asked in a low tone as he re-examined the alien technology. The dark steel looked nothing more than a science fiction prosthetic to him.
Can I turn this into a rifle? You can change it into anything you'd like.
given time and practice. Sister Magdalene grinned at his awe. It can be a rifle, a blade, or whatever you deem fit at the time needed. It is exactly like the arm the Emperor himself had modeled into his flesh.
That's why I didn't see the sword before it was too late, AJ mused, almost forgiving himself for not reacting, but not quite. He was a Marine, and was supposed to be prepared for everything.
Yes, Magdalene nodded. I thought it fitting we should have the same arm since he took yours from you. Only yours is our most advanced model. It will do things that eons will not.
Oh.
AJ turned his alien arm over to examine the underside of it. I almost take back all those mean things I said about you while you were attaching it. Yes, you were rather flowery in your choice of insults. Sister Magdalene smiled to show she took no real offense. You'll have a week's time to begin to learn to transition the arm. When we escape, you should have a basic grasp on its capabilities. I don't need to tell you that if any of the Sarkans see you morphing your arm, they'll cut it off again.
Right, no morphing in front of the guards, who look like they want to hurt us, AJ said, allowing his arm to drop back to his side. And about this whole week to escape thing, we're going tonight.
Right, tonight. We'll...
Sister Magdalene nearly stopped in her tracks.
Jones had to do a quick sidestep in order not to run into her. What did you just say? Sister Magdalene asked, recovering from her shock. Did you say you're attempting your escape tonight?
That's right, AJ told her with a straight face. We're going to spring the slaves, and we're all going together. I need you to show me where they're kept, the armory and the hangar bay.
He's dead serious, Rambo leaned in to say. Trust me, he's not on drugs or anything. This is just AJ.
Sister Magdalene gathered herself before responding.
You humans are a dangerous race. Maybe even a little insane.
You don't know the half of it, sister, Jones said from behind them. We like to live life on the edge. Eat before you go swimming. Don't floss every night. Total rebel status.
I don't know of this floss you speak of, but if this act is as dangerous as it sounds, then perhaps we have a chance.
Sister Magdalene looked sideways at AJ.
There is no talking you out of this.
Sorry, no, AJ answered.
All three locations you asked to visit will be impossible to access in a single night unless you split into two groups.
Sister Magdalene kept a steady pace down the never-ending hall as she spoke, her voice barely above a whisper to keep the guards from overhearing her.
The armory and the slave quarters are on the complete opposite ends of the fortress for obvious reasons.
And the hangar? AJ asked.
Located in the center of the fortress above us, Sister Magdalene answered. That will be manageable.
A dozen scenarios ripped through AJ's mind at once as he planned their escape. If the armory was impossible to access, then they would have to make do with the weapons of any guards they neutralized along the way. Plus, you have a freaking cannon for an arm, if you can figure out how that works. AJ looked down at his arm. Where's the on switch to this thing? AJ was still looking down at his arm, when the metal strands making up his new appendage seemed to shimmer and move in front of his eyes.
What are you doing? Sister Magdalene hissed. I told you not in front of the guards. As far as they know, it's nothing more than a metal arm.
Oh, right. Sorry. AJ shook his head, trying not to think about what he had just seen. My bad. Sister Magdalene led the group the rest of the way in silence. They finally reached the end of their long hall and made a left into a shaded walkway. The fortress was on their left, and a waist-high wall to their right. Below them, two stories down, a courtyard opened up. Small black buildings with shabby roofs and a hard stone ground lay below them. Amongst the houses in the courtyard, dozens of men, women, and children roamed about. They wore simple tunics of white or cream on their bony shoulders. If they did notice the group staring down at them, they did not show any sign. Sarkin guards formed a perimeter on the balcony overlooking the courtyard. The thing that struck AJ the most was the lack of sound coming from the slave establishment. There was no chatter, no whispers, nothing. A deep feeling of sadness mixed with anger settled within AJ.
Penned like animals, Rambo said.
taking a place on AJ's right. They looked down together. In a low tone, she added,
"You were right. We have to get them out with us."
The six Sarkin guards, who acted as their shadows, seemed content to let Sister Magdalene and the Marines converse. If they were interested in trying to catch bits of their conversation, they didn't show it. More than likely, they were nothing more than fortress guards told to not let the alien strangers out of their sight. Nothing more. AJ leaned against the railing looking down. Rambo and Jones stood on his right, with Sister Magdalene on the left.
"They make no sound, because they would be beaten if they were to do so."
Sister Magdalene said the words as if she could taste how dirty they were as they came out of her mouth. "There is a guarded tunnel connecting this slave pen with three others. Emperor Eon wants to limit how much the slaves are heard and seen as much as possible. They are ordered to keep silent and travel underground whenever it makes sense."
"How many of them altogether?" AJ asked.
"There are 200 slaves kept in the palace," Sister Magdalene said, wary of why she was being asked such a question. "More are taken from the planet Ravdon. You visit it, and the stock is replenished as needed."
"Why do you ask?"
"I'm getting the sense this impromptu plan of yours is going to involve more than using the slaves for a diversion."
"We're taking them with us,"
AJ divulged, deciding there was no point in keeping anything from Sister Magdalene now. "We're taking them all with us tonight and getting off this godforsaken planet."
"I should have known," Sister Magdalene huffed, shaking her head. "It's not impossible, but the odds are not in our favor."
A small child ran out from one of the huts. He had sandy brown hair and looked human in every way. The torn cream tunic he wore and the old sandals on his feet twisted AJ's gut. The boy caught sight of the three humans looking down at them. His mouth opened in astonishment as he squealed and waved. Jones nearly waved back before realizing what the action was going to cost the boy.
"Quiet!"
one of the Sarkins on guard around the perimeter shouted, leveling his blaster at the small boy.
"Silence, you piece of filth!"
The boy fell backward, cowering at the large soldier who had him in his crosshairs. Silent tears spilled down the boy's cheeks that should have been chubby and full, but were instead sunken in and shallow. A woman ran out from one of the houses to the small boy and picked him up. She pressed a hand over his mouth and rocked him from side to side. Her own mouth was next to his ear as she tried to soothe him.
"What kind of existence is this?"
Rambo grabbed the railing in front of them so hard her knuckles turned white. Through clenched teeth, she made her promise.
"I'm gonna remember that guard. I'm gonna remember the color of his hair. Now his right eye is just off from the left, and now he holds his rifle up to his eye with his right shoulder out. I'm gonna have a round with his name on it tonight."
"Who are that?" Jones growled.
"We'll get ours tonight,"
AJ promised. Silently grateful, the altercation between the small boy and the Sarkin bully had ended when it did. He wouldn't be able to stand by while a child was murdered. If things had gone bad, he would have stepped in, and then who knows what would have happened.
"Let's go take a look at the hangar bay."
"Follow me," Sister Magdalene said with an open hand, ushering the Marines forward.
"Can you or Jael fly?"
AJ asked Sister Magdalene as they moved on past the courtyard.
"We'll need a pilot."
"And plenty of luck while you're at it," Jones added. "You got any of that lying around?"
Chapter 21 Remy. When he returned to his quarters, everyone was gone. His dragons looked up from where they lay on the couch, then settled back down. Remy smiled, a sense of peace filling him. Those little creatures had shown him what it meant to truly love. Sure, he loved his parents and his brother, but that was different. This love filled every pore in his body and suffused his DNA with the need to protect these beasts. It made him understand there was something greater than himself, something that deserved all the kindness, protection, and love that could be given to them. They made him whole in ways he didn't even know was missing. They were a living, breathing extension of him. His stomach growled, and he wandered into the kitchen to try and work the food machine.
He had no clue what it was actually called, but it reminded him of the system on Star Trek The Next Generation, when they just typed in what they wanted, and it appeared. Here, you had to sort through a list of items and choose. Boy, how he wished he could order up a double bacon cheeseburger with fries right now, instead of the soup-like concoction he actually chose. He took his bowl back into the living room and settled down beside the dragons. Poseidon cracked an eye and sniffed, but decided he didn't like what Remy chose. He went back to sleep. A silly beast. As ravenous as they always seemed to be, they were picky about what they ate. There was a knock at the door, and Remy frowned. Who would knock? The Emperor of Sarka entered the room, followed by 6 guards. Quite the entourage. His black eyes and blue hair, the only thing about him that spoke of his Sarkan heritage, were still as icy as Remy remembered them. His dragons woke up, and upon seeing the Emperor, they crawled into Remy's lap, ready to protect him should he need it. They are quite protective, Eon remarked as he came into the room and took a seat on the adjacent chair. No more so than I am of them. As it should be, Eon nodded approvingly. They are special, and deserve to be treated as such. I thought you might like to join me on the parapets of the castle. The little ones should enjoy the open air. This atmosphere is one they were made for. Remy had thought the same when he'd seen the fiery planet. Dragons were forged in fire, and a planet full of fire? Home sweet home to them. Once they got used to it, anyway. They'd been uneasy when they first arrived, but seemed to be fine now. As much as he didn't want to go anywhere with the crazy man, Remy knew his dragons would enjoy some time outside. He cast one longing look at his food, and then set it on the table. You guys want to go outside? Zeus? He asked the dragon, who claimed his usual perch on his head. His lap was only so big. The little dragon made one of those sounds between a growl and a purr. It was strange, but Rem knew it meant yes. Zeus? Aeon asked curiously when they were on their way out the door. That is a strange name. It's the name of the father of the old gods back on my planet. His brothers, Poseidon and Hades, helped him rule. And these two are named for the brothers? Aeon nodded towards the two dragons perched on his shoulders. Yes. Fitting names for these three. They are creatures from olden times as well. Powerful beasts that could win you the world. They're not weapons, Remy retorted, his anger starting to burn within his soul. They will never be weapons. Eon said nothing as they turned the corner, and then took 4 flights of stairs to a door guarded by another 2 Sarkan guards. They quickly opened the door for their emperor. The air was hot against Remy's already warm skin. This entire place was one big oven. No AC that he could find in their quarters, but at least it was bearable in there. Out here? Whole different ballgame. The heat could blister flesh if one stayed in it too long. Your world is quite different from ours, is it not? Eon asked. Remy told the dragons to fly, and they launched off his shoulders, Zeus the last to leave. He watched them soar up, the orange sky a magnificent backdrop for their spread wings. He couldn't even begin to imagine what they'd look like fully grown. Flashes of Daenerys' dragons from Game of Thrones popped into his head. If these guys were that size or bigger, where was he going to put them on Earth? My world is completely different, he told Eon, as he worried about his dragons and their future back home. It is full of sunshine, rolling green hills, mountains full of wildlife and beaches, oceans, lakes, and rivers of water. This is all we have ever known. Eon leaned against the stone and looked down over the courtyard below. People scurried about, guards everywhere as they watched the slaves who worked there. To us, it's beautiful, but I could see where someone from a planet like yours would think Sarka barren and dark. It's not barren or dark, Remy said, surprised himself that he thought it. There is beauty in the fire and the river of lava. Fire destroys, but that destruction brings with it a resurgence of life. Now where the heck did that come from? Eon smiled, but it never reached his eyes. You and your dragons are melding well.
Their thoughts are yours. That is how they would think of this planet of fire and molten rock.
Well, Remy wasn't sure how he felt about that.
They love to fly.
Eon pointed up at the sky, where the three of them were racing and dive-bombing, and catching themselves right before they hit the ground and soaring back up into the sky. He could feel how happy they were, and it made him laugh. They were incorrigible.
They're small, babies still, and that's what babies do. They play and laugh.
Indeed, Eon replied.
How was your first lesson with the sphere this morning?
Interesting, Remy replied, trying to keep his expression neutral. No need to give away any secrets if he could help it.
Jael tells me our mechanical canine has taken quite a shine to you.
Eon turned to look at him, forcing Remy to meet his eyes.
She said you named him Hank.
Hearing that Jael had reported back to her brother gave Remy a moment's pause. Was his brother right in that they shouldn't trust her? What if she was doing all this to try and catch them in the act of escaping? Was she a test?
Yeah, he and I got to know each other back on the dinosaur planet. He's a good dog. Why would you name him something mechanical, though?
Eon asked curiously.
He's not all mechanical. There is a part of him that is still the dog he started out as. That is the part that matters to me. Every living creature deserves a name.
You're quite remarkable, Remington Alexander Cole, Eon told him.
Quite remarkable.
How do you know my full name? It creeped him out to no end this guy knew so much about him.
There's very little I don't know.
The smile Eon gave him this time was full of the darkness he spoke of earlier. It promised pain and tortures that would make a man wish for the comfort of death. Another hint that maybe Jael had betrayed him?
There's a lot I don't know,
Remy said softly, his eyes going back to the dragons.
I was just a regular high school kid a few days ago, and now I'm here, where everyone seems to think I'm some kind of second coming.
I'm not familiar with that phrase, Eon frowned. What is a second coming?
Back on my world, the Christians think that the Son of God will come back and lift us all to heaven. It's the second coming of Christ. That's what everyone here is making me feel like, and I hate it.
You do not like this Christ person? Eon asked. Remy snorted.
No, I believe in God and all that. I was taught to love God and Jesus. And I guess I do. I've never really thought about it before.
So are these Christians a warrior race on your planet? Remy laughed. The man sounded almost happy at the thought. Remy was betting he was hoping for a good fight when he invaded Earth.
No, man. Christianity is a religion, and those who follow the teachings are Christians. And they're just ordinary people.
Oh. Yep, Remy thought. He's disappointed. He was hoping for a fight, all right.
Are your quarters comfortable enough?
Eon changed the subject again.
Yeah, the ceilings are high enough the dragons can fly.
Good. You may bring them up here whenever you wish.
I think the outdoors is good for them. It will help them grow. They were silent for a few minutes, as they both watched the dragons' antics as they played.
Remy's thoughts kept straying to Jael, and if she'd been spying for her brother. It worried him.
So, the sphere, Eon said, bringing Remy back out of his dark thoughts. Were you able to activate it?
It was weird, Remy said.
It's like it called to me, begging me to touch it.
Does it do that to everyone?
No. This time it was Eon's turn to frown. It's never done that to any Sarkin. We use a series of symbols on the glyph to turn it on. No one's ever heard it speak to them before.
It's not even that it spoke in words. It was more an intense desire to just reach out and touch it. I had this overwhelming need to put my hands on it, and if I didn't, I felt like I'd incinerate from the inside. Like I said, it was weird.
I will have to have the archives checked for any reference to this. We must understand not only how you work with the sphere, but how it works with you.
You want me to open up pathways to other worlds for you to conquer, don't you?
Eon was silent for several heartbeats, but Remy was shocked at his honesty.
Yes.
He didn't sugarcoat it, or try to command it from an angle to make himself look heroic. He was simply honest.
I'm not gonna help you enslave people.
A slight smile finally cracked the man's face.
You will, young prophet.
I won't. My desire is not to harm you or cause you any pain, young one. You are my gift from my gods. I no more wish you harm than I do my own sister. But if you force me, I will make you do as I wish. I will use your brother. If you think my taking his arm was bad, what do you think I'll do to encourage you to do as I ask?
Remy felt the blood drain from his face, and his heartbeat quickened as a fear deeper than anything he'd ever known gripped him.
He wouldn't let AJ be hurt. Not again.
I see you understand, Eon smiled. If you do as you are meant to, and fulfill the prophecy, then no harm will come to anyone.
What is this prophecy everyone speaks of? Remy asked, surprised at how steady his voice was.
It is told that a child of the ancients will rise and lead the way to our future, aided by the sight of the old ones.
The sight being my dragons, Remy mused.
Yes, Eon nodded. Those creatures are as unique as you are yourself. I have great plans for us, young Remy. Great plans.
With that, Eon took his leave, leaving a guard to escort Remy when the dragons were done. Remy turned back to the sky and his dragons.
They had to get out of here tonight.
That crazy man would have no qualms carrying out his threats to AJ.
He only hoped they didn't all get killed.
Jael's image flashed into his mind once more. Please, he sent up a silent prayer. Please let me be right about her. Please don't let her betray us.
Chapter 22 AJ
This was it. It was time to get it done. Everything would come down to trusting the Sisters of Eon. Sister Magdalene had agreed to meet them and the slaves at the hangar bay that night. AJ was confident that he and his team would secure the weapons from the guards outside and liberate the slaves. The rest would be out of his hands.
Speaking of hands, AJ looked down to his left arm. You've got one job here, biomechanical robot nano-alien arm thing. Don't let me down.
Since their return from their excursion with Sister Magdalene, AJ had been working on turning his arm into a weapon. The concept was so foreign to him. He didn't know where to start. She left him with the words of advice, saying,
Clear your mind. Focus solely on what weapon or item you want your arm to transition to. Start with something simple, something that you are familiar with and know well. See it in your mind's eye.
AJ took what she said to heart, even though it sounded like some Bruce Lee type of monk training talk. Jones and Rambo were filling Remy in on the plan, while AJ sat on the white couch, focusing on his arm.
Free your mind. Just like in the Matrix,
AJ told himself as he pushed everything else from his thoughts. He closed his eyes.
See what you want to change your arm into. What do you want it to be?
AJ furrowed his brow. His eyes still closed, he focused on seeing his arm form into a weapon he wanted to construct. The same heated itch traveled up and down his new appendage, but he still didn't look at it. Not yet.
AJ?
Remy's voice interrupted his thoughts.
Shh, AJ said, with his eyes still closed. I'm trying to change my arm into a weapon.
So there's a string of words I never thought I'd hear you say, Remy said. His voice traveled closer.
You should really open your eyes, though.
AJ obeyed, blinking as he did so. Remy stood in front of him, his mouth a wide O shape. His brother was looking down on his alien arm. AJ was almost afraid to look down himself. Almost.
AJ glanced down to see his left arm had transitioned into the blade of a K-bar. The one smooth side, another serrated, started where his palm should have been, and ended at a dangerous point.
"Wow! Can you do a gun?" Remy asked in awe.
"I'll see if I can make a weapon." AJ swallowed hard, turning his K-bar this way and that to see the dark metal's different angles. "This is some hardcore science fiction stuff right here." AJ concentrated on the barrel of an M16A4, on what it looked like, how the weapon fit in his hand, how it felt, the heat it gave off when fired, the pungent yet comfortable odor that wafted from the barrel when discharged. AJ's arm shimmered in front of him as the nanites in the alien metal rearranged themselves to obey. The K-bar shimmered for a moment, then stopped, coming to a final resting point. A barrel with a grenade launcher underneath it took the place of AJ's arm.
"I thought when we were deployed in Afghanistan, and we saw that messed up taco stand in the middle of nowhere selling shaved ice, I had seen everything," Jones said, and he and Rambo came out of the kitchen area. "I was wrong."
"Well, I guess it's time to break out of this joint," Rambo said, still looking at AJ's arm. "Does that thing fire?"
"I guess we're going to find out," AJ said,
rotating his left arm to get a look at the weapon he had made. "We should try and be as quiet as possible until it's time not to be quiet."
"How many do you think are out there?" Jones asked, cracking the knuckles on each of his hands. 4? 6?
"I'm going to go with 6, Remy said, recalling how many of the guards he had seen when he returned from his trip with his dragons. "How are we going to take out 6 Sarkin guards quietly?"
AJ and Rambo looked over to Jones. "No, no way. I don't want to do that again," Jones said, shaking his head furiously. "No, absolutely not. My huevos rancheros can't take another hit. I want to have kids someday, guys."
"I won't hit you and your family jewels this time," Rambo reassured her friend. "That was my bad."
What are we talking about?" Remy asked, as he looked from one Marine to the next. "What are we going to do?"
"Just sit back and relax," AJ said, clearing his throat.
He raised his voice to the ceiling and screamed, "No! You leave him alone! He didn't mean to! He didn't know! I don't care!" Rambo screamed in rage, throwing Jones a deep smile that made no sense with the angry words she had just spoken. "I'm gonna kill him!"
"Guys, I didn't know."
Jones rolled his eyes, shaking his head as if he were still coming to grips with what was happening around him.
"Please stop! Help! Help!"
AJ shouted towards their closed door. "She's gonna kill him!" The door to their room burst open. 6 Sarkin guards rushed in with their weapons raised. Their eyes were huge, unsure of what was going on. As soon as they ran in, Rambo threw a right cross to Jones's chin and a knee to his gut. She actually hit him, and Jones staggered back, then doubled over.
"You piece of trash!"
Rambo said with all the anger she could muster despite her choice of words. "Firefly was the best sci-fi show ever. If you ever disrespect it like that again, you know what? I'm just gonna kill you now!" Rambo tackled the large man to the ground. AJ was impressed. Rambo was putting on the performance of a lifetime. He took his time to circle behind the guards. He had transitioned his left arm back into a hand before the guards entered. Now he hid his arm behind his back and turned it into the knife point of a K-bar.
"You two, stop at once!"
one of the Sarkin guards said through his breathing mask. He looked at the other guards.
"Separate them!"
AJ took a long, deep breath, calming himself for what came next. One of the guards grabbed Rambo by her shoulders to pull her off Jones. All hell broke loose. AJ vaulted forward, driving the point of his blade deep into the base of the skull of the Sarkin leader who had just doled out the order to a subordinate. His movement was fluid as he dropped to all fours and swiped the legs out from under the next Sarkin guard closest to him. The Sarkin guard was falling while AJ leapt on top of him, dragging his blade across his throat. Two of the guards were already down in a matter of seconds. AJ leapt to his feet, tackling a third. He jumped on the alien's back, driving his K-bar blade over and over again into the side of its head. There was motion all around him. Rambo and Jones were on their feet breaking necks, putting down the remaining 3 guards.
Remy had even moved in to help grab the weapon from one of their Sarkin captors as his dragons flew in on the alien, wreaking havoc on its face, and more specifically, its eyes.